on. Instead of the emoji at the after the recap, it's like to start the recap.
All right. Hang on. Let me find an emoji first.
I'll send you, if you want, I can send you an updated thing real quick.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
The only thing I don't remember is what show I used for the Hornets.
Yeah, I still have my same notes saved, so God bless Google Docs.
Almost sloppy motherfucker who uses handwritten notes.
You know, I enjoy handwritten notes, but they're just harder to organize. Like, yeah, I enjoy writing them.
And I have three, like, Spellreich Steno books, and they're all the same color, like, all black. So I choose whatever one's closest. So, like, I have, like, three all halfway done, and my notes are sporadic through all three of them because I'm an idiot.
I feel you. I used to do it for the Buzz.
They don't let me take notes on a computer in school, so I have to handwrite it, and I'm just so much faster typing now.
Much easier to like do everything on the computer and then copy and pasting things like from to go in your notes to your study guide or whatever the hell you're doing, or just like having everything available. It's just so much better. And then you also have it on your PC, your phone, your tablet, because it's all connected.
Yeah. I mean, I've only got like one class now in high school, so it's not like bad anymore, but
yeah,
it's just annoying more than anything.
All right, you guys good?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron and regular guest on the show, Dylan Jackson. How we doing, guys?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, Dylan. Welcome back to the pod. Nick, this is it. The final preview pod before the season.
Yes, this is our final NBA Outlet preview of the year. Obviously, if you want to check out the other 29, you can head to iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But today we are talking Charlotte Hornets. And before we talk next year, we'll look back at last season, 39-43, ninth in the East. How would you summarize it all in one emoji?
If we're basing it on last season, you know, it would just kind of be like the arrow emoji to the side. But you know, if we're doing it for this coming year, it's gonna be the down arrow, just because they're gonna be really bad this year.
So the emoji I put was the heartbroken emoji, because it's probably the last time the Hornets are gonna see that many wins in a year. It also will be the last time they see Kemba Walker in a Charlotte Hornets jersey, and seeing your star. All-star, star player, whatever you view Kemba as, no longer on your roster and having this uncertainty going forward. Last year was heartbreak.
Yeah, I just went with a shoulder shrug here, because just like a typical Hornet season last season, they either make the playoffs or right on the cusp and things don't go right. And obviously Kemba had a big year, but the supporting cast was questionable at best. But biggest positive takeaway of last year?
I would definitely say the development of younger players. Miles Bridges, he looked like a solid young guy, a guy who's going to be able to be a rotational player going forward. Dwayne Bacon is another guy who's, you know, probably going to be our best player this year, but is one of our best two-way guys, if not the best two-way guy on our team. And, you know, we've got a lot more young talent than we did in the past couple of years.
I think positive takeaway, I would piggyback off that. Bridges showing some nice promise, some of the young guys looking good. Also, just like as a team, this was one of the best teams at not turning over the basketball last year. They were second in the league, only averaging 12.2 turnovers per game, which was a surprising stat I saw, because obviously the Hornets missing the playoffs, but they were one of the best teams at taking care of the basketball, which is what you like to see, and that puts you in a good position positively. But again, some of the young guys playing well, and the fact that they actually did take care of the basketball.
Yeah, Miles Bridges really popped off for me. I thought he had a successful rookie season, looked like a good modern fit for the NBA, and he at least gives the Hornets fans something to be happy about with all of his highlight plays. But biggest negative takeaway of last year?
Well, we lost Kemba, an all-star point guard, and probably a top five point guard in the NBA. So the fact that we just weren't able to even trade him or get anything for him just in general, that was probably one of the worst parts of last season. And, you know, I was trying to call for it. I was hoping that they would trade him away or just do something. I mean, I would have rather have given him help than just let him walk for nothing. But it's probably definitely the worst thing that happened last year.
I would have to agree. The biggest negative is the fact that you lost Kemba Walker for nothing. You didn't get any assets in. We've seen a lot of all-stars, a lot of superstars move this past year. The amount of trade or draft picks that the Thunder were able to get for guys like Westbrook and Paul George, you know, you would have thought that Kemba Walker could have garnered some sort of asset, and you lost him for nothing. I would also say, like, Malik Monk, I know – Dylan, you were high on him coming out of college, and he just has yet to kind of find his groove in the NBA. Again, last year, struggling defensively, struggling shooting-wise. So Malik Monk sort of being a flop through 2 years would be another negative for me.
Yeah, obviously you guys mentioned not making the move to trade Kemba and probably getting at least a first-round pick in-house and adding another young piece for this rebuilding situation. But also Monk, I think, was a disappointment. And he started the year pretty well and just kind of didn't stay consistent throughout the season. But talking OTG power rankings, our staff has the Hornets as the worst team in the league. Do you guys think this is fair?
Yeah, it's absolutely fair. The Hornets are going to be very terrible this year. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they broke their own record for worst winning percentage in a season. They're going to be so incredibly bad. You know, just like many casual fans haven't even heard of our best player, Dwayne Bacon. So, I mean, it's going to be rough. It's going to be really tough.
I think it's absolutely fair. The OTG rankings for this one are spot on.
Do you think there's a chance they won't finish last, or they just have this locked up from the start?
I think that there's a chance that they don't win the lottery, but I think they're absolutely the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, that depth chart is rough. But getting to the offseason, talking draft picks, they grabbed PJ Washington, Cody Martin. Tell us about these guys. And if you guys don't know, Dylan is a draft expert.
Yeah, I mean, the PJ Washington pick has kind of grown on me. I still think there was a lot more talent there that we could have picked. He's just, you know, kind of a pro-ready player that's not going to be anything more than a high-level role player. Cody Martin, that is one of the worst picks in the entire draft, in my own opinion. I think he's just not very good at basketball. He's just kind of a defensive, pass-first kind of guard type player. He's not very good offensively, not going to get you much there, just not much of a shooter at all. He's probably just an athletic perimeter defender that can pass and score at one or two levels. They did sign his brother to a 3-year deal, Caleb Martin, and that's even worse than picking Cody Martin in the second round. He's not worth a roster spot, even for the Charlotte Hornets. So that's pretty egregious right there. They also picked, who'd they pick? I forgot his name. Jalen McDaniels. He's not very good either. they had a pretty rough draft. Going from a talent perspective, they went with, you know, just a couple win now guys, and then Jalen McDaniels is just he's a 6'10" guy who can't really bang in down low. So I'm not really sure what to think of him. I don't think he'll be a long term player at all. But the Martin twins are bad. I don't really see them being. too much of a you know, future play in the Hornets. But PJ Washington, hopefully he can become, you know, a high level role player.
What do you think's best case for PJ Washington? Sorry to cut you off, Corey.
You good?
I think the best case scenario is a high level four. You know, could stretch. So probably about I want to say at his absolute ceiling, probably about 16.5 points per game. 6 or 7 rebounds and 2 or 3 assists.
Yeah, I think PJ Washington is an interesting choice, like you said. Could be a good role player going forward for the Hornets.
Well, you think a team in this situation would kind of want for somebody with a higher upside, but yeah. Save that for another day. Free agency-wise, sign and trade for Terry Rozier on a big deal. Thoughts on that?
Bad. Very, very bad. I originally saw the deal and just kind of laughed out loud. I was like in a movie theater and I got out of the movie theater and my phone was like, I had completely forgotten that it was free agency day. And I forgot that they were doing it like 6 hours early. So I was in a movie theater. I got out, I saw the Terry Rozier deal and I just kind of laughed a little bit because it's such a Hornets move. We technically did trade Kemba, but it was for Terry Rozier. So it's kind of like a double negative. It's $19 million a year. It's just not a good value by any means. I mean, he's a starting point guard, and I guess those are tough to come by, but he's just not one that you want starting for your team.
Yeah. 3 years, $58 million. I think what stuck out the most is the fact that he's going to make more money than like Kemba ever made as a Hornet when this is all said and done. It's a lot of money for a guy who had some nice stretches for Boston when he was given a bigger role because of injuries, but never been a guy who shot over 40% from the field. His best year from three was 38%. And just looking, Basketball Reference, just like the predictions, and I wrote it down because I thought it was comical. They're only projecting that Terry Rozier in per 36 minutes next year to average 14 points per game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists on shooting splits of 39 and 36. So not ideal when you plan on paying a guy this amount of money. It was a bold strategy by Michael Jordan and company.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I'm just not sure why they did it. Maybe they thought this is the only guy they could get because of the sign and trade dynamic for Kemba Walker. But still at that price, I don't think anybody else was probably going to pay him that money.
I mean, they did it because they were desperate. They didn't have anybody else. I think Terry Rozier's like they were already over the cap. So, I mean, getting Terry Rozier for that price. But I mean, at that point, you might as well just sign Kemba Walker for the extra $12 million. I mean,
true.
That's just my opinion.
Her figure. I mean, or just don't sign anybody at all and just, you know, accept you're going to be bad instead of, you know, making your cap, you know, your books worse. But departure wise, Frank Kaminsky, Jeremy Lamb, Shelvin Mack, Tony Parker. And obviously Kemba Walker. Other than Kemba, do you wish they could have kept one of these guys?
Absolutely not. I do not think that any of them will have any major impact. You know, Frank Kaminsky, he was okay in stretches, but most of his work came in garbage time, if I'm being completely honest. Tony Parker was a nice, you know, bench point guard to come off and fill in for Kemba Walker when Kemba Walker needed a break, but he really didn't play the entire second half of last year. It was mostly Devontae Graham, so I don't think we'll miss anybody in particular just too much. But Jeremy Lamb, he's probably our biggest loss, other than Kemba Walker, of course. But yeah, I think he'll be really good for the Pacers, Corey. He would have been a great tank commander. Would have loved to have him back, but of course he wants to be on a good team. So
yeah, I think if they miss anyone skill wise, it's going to be Jeremy Lamb. I am glad to hear that you don't think he's going to be trash for me. but yeah, he has some nice moments. And the one thing I liked about Jeremy Lamb is he did progress each year in Charlotte.
Yeah, I think Lamb would be the guy of anyone. You know, the other names really don't stick out. But next season, what's the biggest team X factor, non-player and non-health?
It's got to be player development. I just want to see all the young guys play. I don't really want to see anybody over the age of 29 on the floor at all, just in general. I just want to see, you know, young guys. I want to be for the tank, you know. I just want that high draft pick. I just want to see all these young guys play. I want to see them filter in guys I've never heard of. Just make it fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest X factor, as Dylan just mentioned, is for sure player development. You need to see these guys take some strides, the younger guys, whether that's Terry Rozier, whether that's PJ Washington, Malik Monk finally, Devontae Graham, Miles Bridges. You want to see these young guys take steps forward so you realize that there is a future in Charlotte.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. Player development is the most crucial X factor, and at least having guys you can move forward with and like, okay, this is a position we have taken care of. And I would say maybe a dark horse X factor is if they could move one of the veterans at least for like a second round pick just to have some more draft picks moving forward in this rebuild. Now, starting lineup wise, what's it going to be on opening night?
Opening night, it will be Terry Rozier at the one, Dwayne Bacon at the two, Miles Bridges at the three, PJ at the four, and Cody Zeller at the five. At least that's what I think it will be. Borrego hasn't really said anything about, you know, this or that or anybody's, you know, nobody's guaranteed playing time or a starting spot. But that was the starting lineup most of the time in the preseason, and I expect it to stay that way.
That is the same starting five I had them rolling out as well. I think they just trust the youth movement. I can see Nicholas Batum getting the nod at the three just to have a veteran presence on the court. But as I think a lot of people know listening to this pod, I'm pretty anti-Nicholas Batum at this point in time. He's just kind of fallen off for me.
Yeah, I think you guys nailed it again with the starting lineup. Maybe they throw a veteran out there just to kind of keep things slow down a little bit or just find some consistency on the court to make life easier. But if you're going all in on the rebuild, you might as well just let these young guys play. But player to watch in this team.
The player to watch would be Dwayne Bacon. I think he's the best player on the team, just in general from a basketball standpoint. Probably our best two-way player as well. You know, he can score at all three levels. Good defender. Probably our best defender, even with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist still on the team. But I think he's going to be our best player and could make a play for most improved player. I don't think he will just because the team's going to be so horrendously bad. But I could see him averaging about 17 points, maybe 5 rebounds, 5 assists, something like that.
Yeah, someone's going to have to score points in this team. for me, I went with Terry Rozier. It's a player to watch because he is going to be given the keys to this offense. He is going to be tasked with, quote-unquote, being the guy. The being paid big money, you want to, as a Hornets fan, at least see some sort of competency from Terry Rozier. You want to know that maybe over the course of the next 3 years, this won't be a terrible sign, that maybe scary Terry is a real thing and he can give you some sort of valid point guard play going forward. So for me, it's Terry Rozier.
Yeah, I'll just go with someone different. I'll go with Miles Bridges, see what he can do building off last year's rookie season, if there's more to his game that he can add. But what's worst case scenario for the Hornets as a team next year?
I think the worst case scenario would be them winning more games than they're expected to, you know, like winning maybe 27 or 28 games, you know, take them out of the bottom three teams in terms of lottery. And, you know, just be like fourth or fifth and drop down to like the seventh or eighth overall pick. That would be the absolute worst case scenario, because at that point they've made zero progress whatsoever in, you know, helping their youth movement.
Same worst case scenario for me on this one. It was easy. You don't want this team winning basketball games. You know, we've often on the preview said the worst case scenario is, you know, like not winning games. For this team, it would be winning games.
Yeah, I think other than winning games, it would just be if, you know, the players don't develop or there's no guys in the roster you feel comfortable moving forward with that you're like, okay, we have one piece set. And I think it is kind of possible, but what would be the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is for this team to be so bad that it's fun to watch. And I mean that in the best possible way. Like, I want this team to win like 10 games, but look, you know, hilarious doing it. I want to see, like, you know, Terry Rozier, you know, shooting 40 shots a game and making 20 of them. I want it all. I want everything. I also just want to win the lottery just once.
I think best case scenario is this team gets like less than 10 wins and they're primed up to get hopefully the number one pick.
Yeah, I think best case scenario, they're really bad. They win the lottery, but guys on the team actually look like they can be pretty good moving forward and there's some real potential and you might have pieces. But actual prediction for the season and where do they finish in their division?
Well, they're finishing fifth in their division. I think that goes without saying, but I'd say 15 to 18 wins for my prediction, maybe 20.
So for me, I went with 14 wins. I have them being shit. I do not have them being good.
That's worse than your Hawks prediction from a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I gave the Hawks 16 wins, but also I was really off on a player on that team, Trae Young. So that's a little bit different. I don't think Terry Rozier will have a Trae Young turnaround after a slow start. So I say 14 wins. I think this team will be prime for the lottery, prime for a top three pick. Hopefully, as Dylan mentioned, they get the number one overall pick. But yeah, this is going to be a bad team.
Yeah, yes. Same thing here. Worst team in the league. You know, probably 18 to 19 wins. They'll just get lucky, and then some of the other bad teams will be tanking too. And I think you'll see a little improvement from guys. Not everybody will look great, but I think a couple guys will. But Dylan, you mentioned, you know, winning the lottery and how you hope it actually finally happens. Right now, who would be your pick if the Hornets did win the lottery next year?
I was hoping you'd ask that, and I really want Cole Anthony, point guard out of UNC. You know, he can do it all. He's really athletic, can shoot, can score at all three phases, you know, mid-range, short-range, and from distance. So I really like him. You know, he's just – I want a point guard that can do it all. I want, like, a Kyrie Irving type of player, you know, that caliber guy on this Hornets team. I want Cole Anthony so much right now. And you know, he's going to UNC too, and I'm hoping to get into UNC. So we'll see.
A lot of connections here. Who would be your number two and three option? Obviously Hornets fans listening to this kind of want to get some draft info, obviously with the season coming up.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Anthony Edwards as well. He's a shooting guard, point guard combo from Georgia. And James Wiseman as well, center from Memphis. So those are probably my one, two, and three. There's a couple international prospects. I can't really name them off the top of my head because I can't pronounce their names. So I'll just leave it at that.
Sounds good. Definitely keep an eye on for that. And like I said, Dylan does some great draft content. But league pass wise, where do you rate the Hornets 1 through 10?
It would be a 1. They are not going to be very fun to watch just because they're going to be so bad. I think they only have like one national TV game and it's on NBA TV, so that doesn't really count. So it'll be, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch just, you know, if you want to watch bad basketball, just see a bunch of young players play. But other than that, it's not really going to be very visually appealing.
I'm giving them a 1 as well. I have to watch them 4 times this year and they play the Pacers, but that will probably be it.
Yeah, I think this is a consensus 1. I think this is the first time on the Outlet entire preview series we've all had the same rating. So that's a positive. TV show comparison, and now this can be based off of plot or watchability.
Yeah, I'm going with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because in every single episode, something bad happens. Like something dramatically bad happens. And this team is very, very, very bad. So it's a pretty simple connection there.
So for me, I went with The Mist. This is a show that got canceled after 1 year. It was a sci-fi show. Basically, a mist comes into town. It's based off a Stephen King book. Everything becomes cloudy. If you go out into the mist, you die. Charlotte is going to be kind of like a wasteland. It's going to be a big mist over Charlotte. If you go into Charlotte, you're going to win, but you're going to decimate the Hornets. The Hornets will be living in this state of constantly getting beat up. And The Mist just wasn't a very good show, but some of the characters had some like solid scenes and some solid dialogue. So maybe you'll get like a Terry Rozier 40-point game performance. Dwayne Bacon maybe goes off a couple nights, but nothing that's going to catch your attention to be renewed for more than a year.
They had great picks right there. I just went something based off of watchability. I went with Shooter, the TV show. The movie is, they try to make it into a TV show and it's absolutely terrible. And it's pretty much what the Hornets will be this year. But anything else you want to cover in terms of Charlotte, Dylan, before we get out of here?
I don't believe so. I think this team's just going to be very, very, very bad. They should cycle in a ton of different players that I've never heard of, even as a draft guy. So I'm personally excited for the season. I think they should have been tanking for at least 2 years now. So I'm ready. I'm ready for the draft next year. I've got a big board already, so let's get it.
And I think sometimes watching a really bad team as a fan isn't terrible because there's no expectation. So you can just watch it and like not feel bad when they lose because you already expect it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's coming from a Nets fan who's endured some pretty bad experiences, but now has, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So, yeah.
You can hope, you can pray that'll happen to the Hornets. I don't know, but maybe you'll need to get MJ out of there. But that's for a whole other pod. Corey, anything else you want to throw in?
Thoughts and prayers.
All right. Big thanks, everybody, for listening to this show. And if you listen to any other previews, like I mentioned earlier, you can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But fellas, give yourself a shout out.
Yeah, at JacksonNBA. I keep changing my Twitter handle. It's JAXONNBA. I've changed it like 3 times now. I can't find one that like suits me well.
Well, you'll find it eventually. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHOOPS, KWAL Hoops. Be sure to check out Full Access Hoops, which is a proud member of the OTG Basketball Podcast Network.
Yeah, I'm hoping Corey changes his Twitter handle back to Corey Guns, but... you can follow Off the Glass at OTG Basketball, also OTGBasketball.com. And like I mentioned earlier, head to DesignTree/Off the Glass, grab some OTG merch. And if you want some FOCO USA merch, they got some great NBA bobbleheads. Use discount code OTGNBA10, save you 10% off 2 purchases.
Peace out, Knuckleheads.